T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Finally, we have him, Jack Curry of the Yes Network, for a couple of minutes on this Labor Day holiday evening. And Mr. Curry, thanks for giving us a couple of minutes for sure.
Oh, you're welcome, Steve. As I was just saying to Brian, anyone who had to work today, like I had to work, total respect. So let's talk some Yankee baseball.
Yes, sir. And let's do that. Although, as far as today is concerned, not very good Yankee baseball. CC Sabathia would have been better off visiting his hometown, and that's about 10 minutes away from Oakland in a place called Vallejo, and a little bit sloppy also with Andujar, the bad throw. We saw a pass ball, a couple of misplays in the outfield, leaving runners in scoring position in the seventh and eighth inning. Here's my question number one. Can the Yankees, seemingly in this, and what, three out of four, they lose, what, how many games with the White Sox and with the Tigers? Three out of the seven games with them. What were they, three and four with them? The bottom line is, can they turn it back on in time for that next meaningful game they're going to have October 3rd?
Yeah, I think they can, Steve, but they have some questions they have to answer, and we've seen it across this last week and change of play. You mentioned it, 3-4 in their last homestand. They've got the second-best record in the major leagues at home, but against the White Sox and the Tigers, two teams who combined were both about 30 games under 500 when they played the Yankees. The Yankees didn't play well in that homestand, and you've got to take advantage of those opportunities against those lesser teams. And they didn't do that. I think the way they can turn it back on, as you said, is get whole. And we're starting to see some of that. Sanchez is back. Perhaps Judge is on his way back. He finally swung a bat today, hit some baseballs off a tee, and said hopefully he's back out there in a week or two. They've added McCutchen to the mix. They'll get Didi Gregorius probably back at the end of this week. I think that's part of turning it on, is getting yourself fully healthy. And in their position, hopefully being ready for what certainly looks like that one-game playoff against the same team they lost to today.
What about Chapman? Are we going to see him by October?
It's interesting you bring up Chapman. I was sitting in the press conference room the other day when Brian Cashman spoke about Chapman, and he was very honest, very candid, and the belief is that the Yankees will see him again. But I also think that there's a level of rest that they wanted to give him this time around because that knee has been a problem since May. I think they're hoping that with all this rest, when Chapman comes back, the knee is not an issue at all anymore, that pushing off for him is not a problem. But I think all of that remains to be seen. We don't know until he actually has the rest, gets back out there, and proves that he can pitch again without any pain. Or at the very least, if it's a little bit of pain, pitch through it.
Right. And we know that Judge can't wait to get back. And I know from about a week or so ago, Jack Curry of the Yes Network, that he was talking about, well, if five is the highest with pain and discomfort, I'm at about a four. Now you're talking about him gripping a bat and swinging a bat as he did before the game today and not feeling as much pain. So that's a good sign.
It is a good sign, and I think there's still a process left. He was asked before the game what's next, and he sounded like a batting coach. Well, after you finish hitting off a tee, then you go to soft toss. After you finish soft toss, you take indoor batting practice. After that, I'll move it outdoors and take batting practice. And then after that, it could be some simulated games or however the Yankees want to try and get him back. The minor league season could be over by the time he's ready to play in what could be a rehab game. So I think it's going to be simulated games for him, if anything. I also think Cashman kind of hinted at something with Judge the other day. Mm-hmm. I think when Judge is ready to take a swing in what would have been a rehab or a simulated game, I think you might see him in the lineup. Cashman said they're anticipating that Judge will have some rust, but his mere presence in the lineup, his mere presence in that batter's box, is something that can be imposing to opposing pitchers. And Brian brought up an A-Rod or a Strawberry, somebody who could just impact the game with one swing. And the Yankees have desperately missed Judge, Steve. I've looked at the numbers, and the numbers with him out of the lineup, runs per game, there's not a dramatic difference, but he sees pitches. He lengthens the lineup. He makes pitchers work, and just not having him, I think it's a reminder of how much this guy, before he went out, was the Yankees' MVP this year.
And when you talk about maybe, and certainly, the Yankees, of course, missing their arguably their best player for sure, certainly the most popular, they certainly missed Aaron Boone Sunday against Detroit because Bard filling in for Boone. He stayed with Lynn a little bit too long. You can make that argument. And he didn't use Stanton in the eighth inning. He instead used, who was it? It was Walker and Bird. Bird coming close to the grand slam. Not using Stanton at all. Do you think that the Yankees were missing, maybe more than usual, Aaron Boone on Sunday against Detroit?
Well, it's interesting, Steve, because I asked Bard about that after the game. I said, you went to Walker and Bird as pinch hitters in the eighth. And let's also point out, Walker did have an RBI single, mm-hmm. and Bird did come within a few feet of a grand slam. That being said, you left the NL MVP on the bench in that situation. And Bard's response was that they were saving Stanton for a potential game-winning or game-changing situation. And Wally Matthews followed up and said, well, that was the Bird at-bat was a game-changing situation at that point. And I think they had Bird ready. They were thinking righty versus a lefty there. Lefty versus a righty. But I would not want to end a game with one of my best players not having had a chance to take a cut up there. But Bard also said, I stuck to the process today. That was his exact phrase. And we know the way teams are managed these days. It's not the days of Billy Martin or Sparky Anderson. A team has a game plan, and that game plan isn't just decided by one person. So when Bard referred to the process, it kind of made me believe that this was their plan going into the game, and that was a plan that they stuck with.
And Bird also said after the game, after saying all of what he had to say, I think his final words, what else can you do?
I thought Bird acquitted himself well after the game, though, too, Steve, because I said, listen, I know you want the team to win. Everybody does. That's the team goals. But what are your goals for the rest of the way? And the first word out of his mouth was produce. I've got to produce. He understands that Luke Voit's ascension has more to do with Bird struggling than anything Luke Voit had done. I know the Yankees liked Luke Voit, and they thought right-handed power. Let's make this move. Let's bring him in here. But if Greg Bird had produced at the level that the Yankees had hoped he would, Luke Voit wouldn't have gotten that opportunity. Right. Now that he's gotten it, he's taken advantage of it. He's got 6 home runs and I believe 61 plate appearances with the Yankees. He had 5 and about 140 with the Cardinals. So it just shows you when you get that opportunity, you better do something with it, and Voit obviously has.
Do you think, and of course, I mean, we're talking about speculating and guessing, do you think the Yankees would think about losing Bird if he doesn't turn things around for the rest of September and October as well?
They really, really like Greg Bird, and their reports on Greg Bird have long been positive, and I know that the major league record and what he has done on the back of his baseball card, as they like to say, has been a struggle. But if you go back a couple of years, when they were evaluating their own players internally, Bird was rated higher than Sanchez, and he was rated higher than Judge. Now, I know a lot of the folks who are listening to your show right now are saying, but he hasn't produced the way those guys did. Yes, I get that. But teams believe their own scouting reports. So I still think the Yankees have a ton of belief in Greg Bird. And, Steve, I would not give up on that swing at Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm. What about, again, with the guessing and the speculation, because we still have a month before October 3rd, bottom line is, who would start that wild card game? It seemed like, I think I heard you say on the postgame show today, Loaisiga, who was very good today in relief, A.J. Cole following CeCe, no. And then Green got a little bit of work in, but Loaisiga shut down the Oakland A's. Sometimes I think that by the time Loaisiga had gotten into the game, that the tone, the feeling was that the A's were just going to get this one over with as soon as possible.
And I liked what Loaisiga did for them, though, today. And I said perhaps down the line we could see him in a rotation spot. I didn't say pitching the wild card game. I don't know if that's what you were referring to. I still think Severino is your wild card game starter with a shorter leash than you would have had on him for the first 18 games of the season when he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. I still think you go with track record. And to me, Severino has the best track record with the Yankees. There are a lot of folks who, after Jay Happ's first five starts with the Yankees, sure, were saying, well, Jay Happ, maybe he could start. Well, look what happened to Jay Happ in his last start. He didn't last five innings. I still think the Yankees believe enough in Severino that he's your guy in that wild card game with your bullpen ready to bail him out at the earliest possible point where you think maybe he doesn't have it on that night.
And we know the Tampa Bay, and we know that the A's, their strong suit pitching-wise is their bullpen. And I saw something, Jack, where the A's starters over the last 11, 12 games were something like 2-7 with an ERA over 6. And on Saturday, even though they lost to the Angels, I think it was 8-7, to the Mariners, rather, 8-7, they started a relief pitcher, did the A's, and used 9 pitchers altogether in the game. So we have seen with Tampa, we see with Oakland, and we are seeing with the Cubs and more so with some other teams, you know, the bullpen starting a game and going the rest of the way. I could see, and I'm sure this is very easy for most people to see as well, come a wild card game that if a Severino, Jack, was not getting the job done right away, here comes the Yankee bullpen.
Oh, I think every team in a wild card game would be thinking that exact thing, Steve. And the A's are one of those teams. Manaea is on the DL right now for them. He's been their number one guy. Their rotation is one of their weaknesses. Their bullpen is a bullpen that you could line up and say, give me 9 innings. And in a do-or-die game, I could easily see the A's trying to do something like that. And with the Yankees, we saw it last year. We only have to go back to last year with Severino, where Chad Green was out of the bullpen almost at the beginning of the game because Severino struggled against the Twins. So that's why getting Chapman back, getting Britton right, having Betances continue to be the Terminator that he has been up until the other night where he gave up a couple of home runs, knowing that you can get probably a couple of innings out of Chad Green and some quality out of David Robertson. That's why having all these guys in sync at the same time is so important, because there is a 163rd game looming, and your whole season is going to rest on that game.
Well, the question at the moment, will it be here or will it be there? And I think the A's, first of all, the A's probably have designs on catching Houston. And if not, certainly they would like to catch the Yankees. So it's very important the Yankees take at least one of the next two games, Jack.
Yeah, I said that on our post-game show. Ideally, I mean, I'm not breaking any news here, you'd like to win the next two. But at the very least, if the Yankees win one, they keep enough of a cushion between themselves and the A's. And you don't want the wild card, you want the division, but catching the Red Sox is a goal that is drifting further and further away from the Yankees. So you want home field advantage. You do not want to be the team that has to travel 3,000 miles. And as I mentioned earlier, other than the Red Sox, the Yankees have the best record in the major leagues at home. It's incumbent upon them to make sure they don't lose that top spot in the wild card race right now.
Jack, I can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes of your time. Enjoy the rest of your holiday Monday. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. I enjoyed it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.